Reno. Tony got the Nile Quinn, Packy doesn't let him in. Not the violence, not the violence, only one can go.
Welcome to the Fantasy King Podcast.
Hi guys, and welcome to the Fantasy King Podcast. I'm the Fantasy King, and I'm here with Prashant. Hello, Prashant.
Hi guys, this is Prashant. You can find me on Twitter at my Twitter handle, FPL_Prashant.
And you can find me at the Fantasy King too. And we've just got over game week one, and I think we're all full of excitement and overreactions as well for some people that I've seen along the community. But it's great to actually be having a podcast and talking about what we've just saw. What do you think, Prashant? It's great, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's great, really. And game week one is finally here, and all the tinkering and changing of teams for the whole summer, everything has... game week one was good. Yeah, it's here. I'm happy.
Yeah, like you were saying there, all the tinkering, all the changing, all the stress, the sleepless nights, it all came to fruition just at the weekend there, didn't it? So we all got to see how our teams did. And tell me, Prashan, were you happy with how game week one went for you? Tell me what points you got, and talk us through your team and who you had.
Yeah, sure. I got actually 75 points, and I'm quite happy with it.
That's 75 great.
Points is a good start.
Yep.
And in my team, I have David De Gea in goal. I was so sad that day that he lost the clean sheet in the last minute.
Oh, weren't we all?
Yes. And then I had Robertson, who gave me 11 points. Very good. I expected that from him.
Yeah.
And then Tompkins I had, who gave me 6. And then the legend, Mendy, 15 points.
Oh, you had him, you bastard.
And then I had captain, of course, Mo Salah, and then Sanchez got that lucky assist.
Yeah.
So I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that assist all day long.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And then I had Bernardo Silva, 8 points, very happy with him.
Yeah.
And then. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm just loving your team here at the moment. It sounds great.
I had Zaha, 1 goal, but got a yellow card, so 5 points for him. And then Joshua King and Aubameyang didn't fire up for me. And
yeah.
I had Rals from Cardiff, and then that fucker also didn't do anything. I had Wan-Bissaka as my third substitute. Oh my God, it's killing me. 12 points.
Oh, did he not come on for you, Prashant?
No, he was the third substitute.
Oh my God. Unlucky.
What about you, man?
Yeah, I'm very happy. I got 79 points, Prashant.
Okay.
My strikers didn't fire for me either. I think that seemed to be the fashion of this game week. I don't think any of the strikers really did much apart from obviously Vardy and Wilson.
Oh my God, Wilson.
Yeah, I don't even talk about Wilson. We'll have a little chat about him later, but you know my feelings on Wilson. He trolled me big time last season. My strikers were Morata and King. So,
whoa.
Yeah, so I got nothing there. My midfield, I also had Sanchez like you. I had Salah captain. I had Richarlison, and who got me 14 points, and I had Eriksen. And my defense, I had Davies, who got me 2 points. I had Robertson, who got me 11. And I had David Luiz, who got me 5. And I started Wan-Bissaka, who got me 12. And
oh my God,
yeah,
wow.
And my goalkeeper was Ederson, who got me 8. Now, before I move off my team, I just want to say I was very glad that Sanchez got that lucky assist as well, because at 10.5 million, I wasn't overly impressed with what I saw. He sort of looks like the Sanchez of last season, you know, just kind of wandering about the pitch, just running here and there. Still doesn't look like Arsenal Sanchez, if you want to call it that. And do you know how I felt? I felt badly screwed with the penalty takers on game week one, Prashant.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because I had Josh King and I thought he was going to hit the penalty. And Wilson took it.
No, I'm glad Wilson took it, and that's the idiot missed it. So from now on, King should take it. Like, he missed it, right? So I think King has the opportunity now to take it for the rest of the season.
Exactly. And I'm not moving Josh King out. I'm going to keep King because I feel that the fixtures are still kind. My next penalty then, we kind of knew that Hazard wasn't really going to start the first game because of the World Cup. So I thought Morata might take penalty duties. And I was, when the penalty whistle blew, I was like, oh, here we go, penalty. And Jorginho stepped up and took it. So
I think it was just his debut game, and then Sarri wanted him to get a goal, so that's why he took it.
Yeah.
That's the obvious thing that I can think of.
Yeah, but again, I felt, you know, what the hell's going on here? And but, then the other penalty, but, my third penalty, the Pogba penalty off Sanchez. Now, so I feel like I was a little hard done by with the penalties, but in hindsight, you know, I mean, Pogba did the right thing. He had been probably training penalties throughout the World Cup, and it was the right moves. But that was my only kind of complaint for the game week one. I thought I could have got more points, you know?
Yeah, but on the positive side, if anyone of them would have missed, then you would have got minus two or minus three also.
Exactly as well. That's true. That's true.
And why did you go with Morata? That's such a brave pick. Like, I wouldn't go with Morata. Morata's friends will not go with Morata in their team.
I know, but you see, that was the thing. I thought, you know, just like Wilson, a lot of hate on him and, you know, a lot of negativity. I just thought he is going to be the main striker at Chelsea. Aubameyang and Aguero, I felt, were going to cancel each other out. You know, I just didn't see goals straight away for both. And Aguero, I'd love to have Aguero in, but it's looking unlikely for me because I'm just so scared of the rotation, the Pep roulette. Like, I think that even going into the next game, Aguero, people that have Aguero, I wouldn't be putting the captaincy on Aguero for game week two because I think Pep could just as easily start Jesus in that game, or at the very least give him some minutes, because Jesus needs minutes right now. He needs confidence and he needs goals. And Pep bought Jesus. And you know, managers like to back the players that they buy. So that's my concerns there.
Exactly. And Aguero looked sharp in the Community Shield, but then he missed a very simple 1v1 against Peter Cech that I was so relieved that he missed. Otherwise, my game week rank would have dived 100k more.
And he could have easily squared that over to Kevin De Bruyne too, couldn't he?
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, I was kind of happy that didn't happen as well, obviously, because I didn't have Aguero. I didn't have any City attacks.
That was a risky one.
It was. And I think I might have got away with it, Prashant, because in the Spurs game, I really liked what I saw with Eriksen and Davies. So I'm sticking by them for next week. Tell me, have you got any plans for game week two, or are you making any transfers, or what's your plans?
Nothing like that. I have one bench fodder who doesn't play. I took a punt on Hudson-Odoi for 4.5, but it's Chelsea, and I think he's probably on a plane to Vitesse already on loan.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I think he will remain on my bench. I don't want to make any transfers. I want to take two transfers to game week three, and then let's see
if I want to make anyone. You're the same as me, Prashant. The only change I've made really on my team is I've taken Wan-Bissaka out of my team, and I've put Danny Ings from the bench onto my starting lineup. Obviously, with Crystal Palace playing Liverpool, you know, I just thought, I can't be risking Wan-Bissaka in that game.
I think that's a good move, you know. Like, Danny Ings looked really good.
Yeah.
Against Burnley when he came on after 60th minute, he started, like, the game turned on its head, and then he has a game now against Everton. Everton's defense has been a bit shaky, so I think he might get a goal or two if he starts.
I'm hoping at least that he starts that game. I agree with you. I thought he looked good when he came on. That was my third striker that I took at 5.5. So I was quite. I hopefully that he starts firing for me now going into game week two. So my game week two team, like yourself, I haven't made any transfers. I really wanted to bring in Mendy, and he is on my hit list. He's my number one transfer target. I've handed Ed Woodward my sheet, and Mendy is on it. Prashant, Mendy is on it. It's kind of a blessing in disguise that he went up to the 6.1, even though I was a little disappointed. I'm not going to get in this week, and I'm just going to save my transfers for game week 3. And at the moment on my naughty list, I'll call it, is Sanchez and Davies. So Sanchez will free up a lot of cash for me. I'll bring in Mendy maybe then for Davies. And I'm not sure who I'm going to bring in for my midfield, but I've got a few guys on my hit list. Do you want to hear them, Prashant, first?
Yes, definitely, you can.
I've got a couple of players here that I'm watching. Kennedy, 5 million. Madison, 6.5 million. Neves, 5 million. And then, obviously, Mendy at 6 million.
Even I have got a few players on my watch list, like, you know, for the third game week and all.
Yeah, tell me who your players for the watch list are.
I think Richarlison is the one I would like to have in my team.
Yeah,
like, he didn't look too good.
I'm happy I have him.
Yeah. And I think I'll stick with Sanchez for a couple of more weeks because, yes, he missed. He was a bit frustrating here and there. But then you can remember that if Lukaku had finished that chance, he would have got two assists.
That's right. Lukaku, I couldn't believe he missed that chance. Well, I'll tell you what. See, game week 2, that's going to be a big game for Sanchez, whether I decide to keep him or not. I'll wait to see if I like what I see.
Exactly. And then on my watch list, if Sanchez doesn't perform, I think I can bring in Mane. Mane looked really good.
Oh my God, I meant to say Mane as well. I actually tweeted that out. I think I have Mane, Pogba, and another player. But go on ahead.
Yeah, so for me, Richarlison, Mane, and in defense, I think I have everyone. If I didn't have De Gea, I would have gone for Shaw, but I don't think I would like to double up on United's defense so early. If they look good, then maybe in future.
Yeah, and I was listening to a few podcasts today, and especially the Generals one stood out to me. You know, I think it's very true. You know, me, you, and the General are United fans, so
we kind of
see things, you know, a wee bit more deeper than maybe just the casual fan. But we know Mourinho as well, and even though Shaw got that goal, Shaw didn't look great. He made a couple of mistakes I didn't like. Do you remember when, was it
Vardy pushed him?
Yeah, dispossessed him. That could have easily been a goal. And we wouldn't have been praising Shaw as highly as we would have today, because it was very sloppy. He didn't clear his lines. Also, a few misplaced passes I didn't like. But, you know, look, I hope Shaw comes good. But I just see Mourinho putting Young back in there whenever Valencia's fit again. Well, Young's going to go to the right back now because Valencia's injured. And Shaw will keep his place for at least a couple more weeks maybe.
Yeah, that depends on Darmian's situation. If he leaves, then that will happen, what he said. If he doesn't, then I think...
Yeah, totally.
So now, should we move on to the main points on the week? What did we learn from the game week?
Yeah, we can do that. Do you want to take it away there first, Prashant, and tell me what you've learned?
Yeah, two things I've learned. Like, Liverpool started where they left off from the last season. They were so good. I like the Liverpool attack, and especially their new player, Naby Keita. His play name, Naby Keita.
Yeah.
He looked really good running in the midfield and dribbling through the West Ham's defense. But I think it was just West Ham being West Ham. And then they were really poor in defense after the first half an hour. So can't judge much on that. But
You're right there. I think talking about things we learned, I think if we've learned anything, it's minimum, bare minimum, two Liverpool players. But I think three is a must.
Yes, I think owning three Liverpool players is becoming must because their fixture list is also quite good at the moment.
So I have two at the moment. I'm probably thinking about maybe bringing in Mane soon. I'm happy I have Robertson. Robertson looked very sharp, and he looks like Mendy. He's also a winger. You know, basically you're buying a midfielder who's going to get clean sheets.
Exactly, and I'm so happy with this. And his involvement in the first goal, and then he looked dangerous all over the game. No, it was good having a defender who puts crosses in the box, and then players like Salah and Bobby can finish them off.
Yeah, excellent. Anything else, Prashant, that we learned from game week 1? Maybe City going to be a safe bet for midfield players, or do you think it's like a minefield of rotation, maybe even the strikers as well? What do you think there?
I think one of the City players who can be a best bet for me is Bernardo Silva, because I think this season he has started playing in a midfield three of Fernandinho, Bernardo Silva, and the third one can be KDB when he's back. So I think David Silva is not fit enough and he won't feature as much as he did last season. So Bernardo should start most of the games. And if he starts, we saw that he will be there amongst the goals and assists.
Do you think this is the near spelling the end of David Silva? Is that what you're saying, Prashant? Do you think he's gonna miss out some big game time?
I think yes. And I think today he announced his retirement from international football as well.
Yeah, that's correct. I was just going to get to that. I was thinking maybe that may mean he may be more focused on the club.
Yeah, maybe that might happen, but for now I think he's not even in the squad against Arsenal. So
I
continue to go with Bernardo Silva. I don't expect him to start every match for the next 5-6 game weeks, but I think if he starts 5 matches for me, he's good enough.
And then we have so many players, to talk about. We've Sterling, Mahrez, Sané. You've already mentioned Bernardo Silva. We've got Kevin De Bruyne. We've got Jesus and Aguero. Now, there is rotation there somewhere.
Exactly. And this rotation, it will be more evident once the Champions League starts.
Yes, that's true. Do you know that something, I guess what shocked a lot of Game Week 1 managers was the fact that Sané didn't make an appearance. And if you remember last year, Sané only really got his chance because Mendy got injured and started to play Sané in that. So I'm not going to be looking at Sané as a must-have for a City player yet. I think, the safest players for me in that Man City team, and I think I said it in Game Week 1, on our last podcast, I said it was Ederson, Kevin De Bruyne, and I wasn't sure of the third, but I am now. It's Mendy. I'm going to double up on City defence. I'm going to go Ederson, Mendy, and maybe KDB later on.
Actually, that's a good choice. If you want to ditch Sanchez, then you can get KDB, and then from Davies, you can get Mendy.
And you know what? When you're getting Mendy, you're not really, it doesn't feel like you're getting a defensive player. You're getting an offensive player with defensive bonus points, if you get the clean sheet.
Exactly. And Man City's next fixtures are against Huddersfield, Wolves, Newcastle, Fulham, Cardiff and Brighton.
They're absolutely beautiful fixtures. So that's what my advice would be, to go for Mendy anyway.
Yeah, exactly. What about you? Did anything special catch your eye?
Yeah, there's a lot that caught my eye. I think there's a lot of value in the six, from the 5 million to 6.5 million market. I think we saw players like Neves, Jota, Madison from Leicester looked great. Richarlison, 6.5. Do you know, you could have a really good midfield for low price, and you could easily spread that money to a few good attackers and also to those attacking wingbacks we've just spoke about, like Robertson, Mendy and Davies. I think you can really work in the midfield, but of course it's early days yet, but it does look exciting that the price bracket for midfield players.
Exactly. I think you're correct here, because for the players of 6.5, you have so many options. Even Pedro scored the other day, he's 6.5.
Yeah.
And Richarlison and Jota got an assist from that foul he got from Jagielka's red card. So it's really interesting. And I think Madison is flying under the radar. People are not noticing him, but in the game against United, he was really impressive.
Wasn't he? I thought he was great. Another player, now I think we need to address this situation, is the Jota Neves knee-jerk that I see going on Twitter. I think that people shouldn't be just jumping off Jota so soon onto Neves, because it's not, Neves, he had a great game, and maybe the set pieces, that could swing me, but I would just stick with Jota yet for another couple of games before I would just make that big decision.
I think yes, because every game he won't get a free kick from that situation, and then every game he won't score from that. So he plays as a central midfielder, and will he go up every time? We don't know, right? So
yeah.
And even Yota had a decent game, I think, in my opinion. Like, he was not at his best, but still, for a player who scored 17, 18 goals in the championship, I think he will come good with time.
Yeah. I guess another big talking point is probably the bargain defender of game week one, and I think for the season, and I would go out and grab him right now if you could, is Wan-Bissaka at 4 million.
Oh, yes. Wan-Bissaka is the treat of the FPL community, but for I think lots of managers, 300,000 managers or something, had him on their benches, including me actually.
Oh,
you had him.
Oh my god,
lucky
that's
boy.
That's an amazing stat, isn't it? I love hearing stats like that, but obviously not whenever it's at your expense. But you know what I mean.
I didn't want to double up on Palace's defense. I already had Tompkins, and then I thought, come on, if Cardiff score one, and then I'm
yeah,
out.
I know. I know what you mean. And another Palace defender that looks great is Patrick Van Aanholt. Wow.
Yes, I wanted him so badly in my team, but if I took him, then I wouldn't be able to take Mendy. So I think it's okay. I took Tompkins in Van Aanholt's place and took Mendy in place of David Luiz. That decision was good for me.
Right. But so Wan-Bissaka, anyway, he looks nailed on. He likes to attack, and he's young. And he's now 4.1 million. So, you know, if you have a spare transfer that you don't mind getting in, you could free up some funds by bringing in Wan-Bissaka. Fulham didn't look really spectacular. A few players, stood out. I did think Shirola and Mitrovic. Well, Mitrovic especially, I think he will get goals this season.
I think Mitrovic was good. He had a couple of good shots. And even a header that was saved by Hennessy. Bean Hennessy was very good in that game.
He was.
And I think, but the service to Mitrovic is not that decent. Like, players are not giving the ball onto his feet giving the, good crosses in the air. So, lack of service for him in the first game really costed Fulham.
Yeah.
We'll see how much does their manager change the situation, because Mitrovic is a good striker. I like him.
Yeah.
And if he starts scoring at 6.5, it's a good price to have him.
He's definitely going to be on my watch list anyway. We'll go on here now to another team I want to talk about is Watford and Brighton. I didn't think Brighton were great.
Yeah, Brighton was surprisingly poor. Like, Brighton had a decent pre-season, and then...
Yeah.
Their talisman, Pascal Gross, was, I think, substituted before the 60th minute.
Oh, yeah,
a lot
he
of
did. He was the 59th minute or something like that.
Oh, that's a big troll
painful,
for so many
painful.
FPL
that's,
managers.
That's like one of the worst things that can happen as a fantasy manager, seeing your player being dragged off at that time. So for 7 million, I'm glad I kind of avoided him. Like, who's to say he doesn't come out and he's got tough fixtures up until, I think we already spoke about this, up until game week 8. So
I think, yes, and then he faces the likes of United, Liverpool, City, Spurs, and I don't think Brighton will get anything from these fixtures.
Yeah, best really to avoid, and we'll maybe come back to them around game week 8 if you want to revisit that. But Watford, Pereira looked very impressive, and so did Holobus. Is it Holobus?
Yeah, actually, I had Holobus in one of my earlier drafts, and then he had a yellow mark on his name.
Yeah.
In the FPL website, so I was worried that he might not play, because I like him, because he's on all the set pieces, all free kicks, all corners.
Right.
So that gives me an option of an assist, and then he's a left back, attacking left back. And Pereira's goals were good. One of them was a volley, a freakish goal. Will it go every time? I don't know, but yeah, he can be one, a uber differential kind of player.
Yeah, definitely interesting now, and probably another good budget player to have. And worth note as well, did Hammer start in nets? Oh no, that's, I'm thinking Huddersfield, sorry. He 4 million.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good point.
4 million starting goalkeeper.
Yeah, exactly. A very good point from you, that 4 million keep starting keeper Hammer.
Definitely,
starts for Huddersfield.
Definitely to keep an eye of to see if he keeps his place now. But at 4 million, that's a nice keeper to have, because at the moment I have Borac in nets for me. Borac, or however you pronounce that. And
even for me, I have Boruch and De Gea, and I think for you, you have Edison and Boruch.
Yeah, exactly. So, I would rather have a keeper that starts at 4 million than one. Like, God knows when I'm ever going to have to use him. Actually, sorry, I need to say this. Ederson's wife is having a baby soon. So,
oh,
Ederson is definitely...
Wow, this is...
Yeah, Ederson's...
Breaking news for me.
Yeah, Ederson's wife is having a baby soon, so he could potentially miss a game, depending on when she has that baby. So that would be another reason to have a starting goalkeeper at $4 million in there, do you know?
I understand, and situations like this, even with David Silva last season, a lot of people suffered
yeah.
when he went to have personal problems and
oh,
all those.
That's right. Oh, yeah, it was. That's right. He had a very the baby wasn't well, but so that's something to note. Now, saying that we were speaking about Huddersfield and Hamer and Nets, Chelsea. What did you think of Chelsea, Prashan?
I think Chelsea were good. They were not so solid. I watched that game actually, and they were not that good in the first quarter of the game. Like Huddersfield really pinned them back. But
yeah.
One thing I noticed in the game was how N'Golo Kante started bombing, to the edge of the box or to get on the far post in the box at the end of crosses.
That's
because
right.
now he has Jorginho at the center of midfield, so he doesn't need to worry about tracking back.
Yeah, that's true. And I have a confession to make. You know, a couple of people were DMing me about Kante, and they were also DMing me their teams and things, you know, and I said to every one of them, I wouldn't really be going for Kante. He's kind of like the pass before the pass, if you get me. I obviously wasn't thinking about how Sarri was going to play things, and I didn't see it coming, but definitely when watching the game and match of the day, you can actually see that Kante is allowed more freedom to move forward. And I think Kante actually spoke in an interview that the manager actually said to him he wants him to get used to being a little bit more attacking and getting up there in the final third. So that's something to, you know, to take note of. I wouldn't just be going out rushing, bringing him in, but for $5 million, you know, if you want something different in there, certainly have a look at him. But I would probably, depending on who takes the penalties, Jorginho would be a more attractive action asset for me at $5 million.
I don't think Jorginho will take, once Hazard is back. Hazard is the new number one penalty taker for Chelsea and has been for years. So
yeah, but what about how sexy was that penalty?
Oh man, that was so cool. Like he just waited at the end, just like
he done, you know, like fucking some kind of like fucking Matrix, like where he slowed down time and like he grew another foot and just keeper had no chance. It was amazing.
And it was his debut and the confidence he had.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The Chelsea keeper looked okay too, didn't he? He looks like he's got good old reflexes and you know, he looks very agile.
Yeah, I think he looked good. Kepa Arrizabalaga, his name, I think. Yeah, but I think Huddersfield didn't apply enough pressure on him that, you know, we can say anything about him.
Yeah.
Now, and next game against Arsenal is going to be a good one to see how he, you know, faces the big opposition and all that.
Yeah, that's right. That'll be a good game. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully, Morata gets on the scoreboard for me. Another thing, I think, which not even fantasy related, but I'll just say it quickly. Courtois going to Real Madrid is probably good news for United fans for De Gea. Hopefully, he stays now and signs a new contract. I had to get that in there. But in saying that, we'll go to Wolves and Everton. Prashan, Richarlison stole the show for me. I was glad I had him in my team. I think he was in my original draft team as well. So I kept with him. I knew under Marco Silva they're probably like a match made in heaven. And at the minute, it's showing that he's got a little knock, but I think he's going to start.
I think in a video posted by Everton today, he was showed in training, so I think he's okay.
Yeah, oh, that's good. I didn't know that. So, excellent. Anyone else in the Everton team stand out for you? Did Walcott got 90 minutes?
But again, Walcott is Walcott, right? Like when you expect him to score, that bastard.
Yeah,
was in my team for about 5-6 game weeks leading to game week 31, the blank game week, and then didn't do shit.
Yeah.
I'm not touching him again.
How much is Walcott?
Sorry?
How much is Walcott?
I think he's 6.5.
Well, there you go. Seven. That's it. If you had 6.5 million, you wouldn't be spending it in Walcott, would you?
I'm not even sure. Like, I didn't even checked his price. I'll just check it and let you know.
I think there's better.
I think, yeah, he's 6.5.
There's better value out there at 6.5 anyway in the market, I think. A lot of people in my mini league were stung by Mina. They all transferred him in. And I just thought, you know, that's a crazy move, bringing a player in that hasn't even bedded into the team yet. Like, did you see many people getting caught out with Mina?
Yeah, I saw a few teams with Lucas Digne and he just came on as a late substitute or something.
Yeah.
Why would you bring a player who has just come in? Like, I think they are the casuals. They just thought big name signings. Okay. We'll just bring him in.
Exactly.
That's really not smart.
So on to what about any Seamus Coleman looked like he had a good game. And
Seamus Coleman had a good game. But again, Everton's defense against Marco Silva, or Marco Silva's defense for any team, has not been, you know, very impressive. Even Watford teams conceded a lot of goals, and then they outscored opponents. They were not, like, you know, keeping clean sheets and winning. They're like winning 3-2, 4-3, all those things.
And Wolves, I think the big talking points here were Jota and Neves. Neves looks like he's on set pieces, and he looks like he can swing a free kick, huh?
Exactly. He was good, actually. And then I couldn't watch the match. I saw the match of the day highlights, and then it was highlighted nicely that how he controlled the midfield, and even his crossing was really good for the Jimenez goal.
Yeah.
I think we can keep an eye on him. Him and Kante at 5 million around that price range are quite good after the first game week. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I agree. And I would keep an eye on Jorginho as well if he takes those penalties off Hazard, which I don't think he will. But, you know, and another thing, just talking about Wolves again there, I would definitely give Jota a chance. I wouldn't just go jumping the gun there straight away on that one either.
Definitely no.
You know, he's got a lot to offer as well, I think. Going on now then, I don't think we'll need to speak too much on Liverpool and West Ham, because anyone who's listening to the podcast or anyone who plays fantasy football, you know, we all know the big targets here in the Liverpool team. It's obviously the Salahs and the Firminos and Manes.
Exactly. I think I saw some teams with Naby Keita. He is a good differential, as I said earlier.
Yeah.
But at 7.5, again, I think you can have the likes of Bernardo Silva and Charlison and all, who play much forward and better.
I totally agree. But you know what? Like you said, he did look exciting, and he does look like he can get forward, and there is goals in him. But the thing is, there's more goals on the other Liverpool players. So, you know, I don't know why you'd be more inclined to go with the Salahs, Manes and Firminos rather than risk the Keitas. And another no-go for me is probably Shaqiri this season as a fantasy asset, because he's just not going to play 90 minutes, you know?
Exactly. And I was kind of sad because when he moved to Liverpool, he was a good player to have in fantasy football, and now he's not an option. Like 7.5 million, he was a good budget midfielder, but no one will ever get Shaqiri back in their team unless, of course, you know, one of the front three get injured.
Yeah. And another interesting player to talk about is Daniel Sturridge. He just seems to, anything he touches turns to gold. Like I think he's come on all pre-season, or any pre-season game he was involved in, he's almost scored immediately.
And even in this game, he came and after 2 seconds, he scored, I think.
Yeah.
It's one of the fastest goals scored by a substitute in the Premier League.
And he's 6 million, is he?
Yes, he's 6, but again, the risk with him is Bobby Firmino will start all games. And
yeah, exactly. You know. But it's just interesting, just that he's even, like, if he had him, and if he's going to come on as a sub for 10 or 20 minutes and get you a goal, like, you'd be like, well, I would nearly try and get 5 million again, sell Danny Ings and pick up 5 million for him. But again, like, I'm only just kind of wishful thinking. I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't trust it. West Ham, Prashant, we had a lot of high expectations on West Ham. You know, we have Arnautovic, you know, Yarmolenko, Felipe Anderson. We had Wilshere running the mechanics in midfield. You know, a lot of exciting players there.
I liked Felipe Anderson. He was playing on the left wing, and I think he was really good.
He was.
I watched the game.
Would it be fair to say, Prashant, that we can't really judge West Ham yet based on that game against Liverpool? It would be unfair just to, you know, burn them at the stake because they got beat 4-0 by Liverpool.
Exactly. And I think West Ham have just won a single Premier League, single game at Anfield in more than 55 years. So there's that pressure. And then Liverpool was swashbuckling performance. So we can't judge them. I think West Ham attackers, Arnautovic looked good. Like, he didn't get much service, but he tried to do his best. And then, as I said, Felipe Anderson looked good. Apart from that, I don't know for now, because they have tough fixtures as well, right? They face Arsenal, Chelsea, United, all these teams.
Yeah,
till game week 10.
So I wouldn't just go jumping maybe the gun either on just, you know, getting rid of maybe Arnautovic right away yet. You know, I would give it time. Or what do you think? But you did scare me there with those fixtures.
Yes, but I think even the next game is against Bournemouth, and the game in game week 4 is against Wolves. So if he has the ability to score against these two teams, and then, you know.
Yeah, you could work around it. You could maybe, you know, he's worth keeping. Yeah, definitely worth keeping. So anyone else in that game impress you for West Ham, apart from Felipe Anderson and Arnautovic, or do you think we've done Liverpool and West Ham there?
I think we are done. Fabianski made a few good saves, but then it was expected of him that Liverpool will bombard him with shots. So
yeah.
I think we are done.
Southampton and Burnley, I had Ben Mee in one of my draft teams. I've seen he scored 8 points. I think Burnley, as a defensive-wise, are always good. And Joe Hart could be a great budget option in Nets as well. What do you think there?
I watched the Burnley game on Match of the Day, and oh God, you are so lucky that you got 8 points, because he was heavily involved, you know.
I didn't have him. He was in one of my draft teams. I don't have him anymore.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because he almost scored an own goal there.
Oh my God.
The other day.
Yeah.
Because he took a header and then it went towards his own net, which one of his defenders cleared off the line, and then he almost gave a penalty in the 90th minute or something. So all this, he was heavily involved but was getting lucky.
Right. And the Southampton team now, I don't have very many players there. I think Cedric came off on the 59th minute or before
57th minute.
He came off before 60 minutes as well. Blocked a lot of people from getting Juan Bissaka on. So, moment of silence for all you guys. Sorry about that.
They started with the 3-5-2 formation earlier.
Right.
But when Cedric was off, and then Danny Ings came on, and someone else, I don't remember who came on, and then they switched from 3 at the back to 4-4-2, and that looked really good.
Yeah.
Like, the game turned on its head, and Danny Ings had a few attempts, and then Southampton started to, you know, come back into the game.
Yeah.
It was a good 0-0 draw, to be honest.
Yeah, it was. Do you know what? I'm so happy fantasy football's back. And do you know one of the games I'm actually looking forward to next week is actually this is the beauty of fantasy football. I'm actually looking forward to watching Southampton and is it Everton? Because I just have a good feeling about Danny Ings.
Yes, I think that can be a very good game from the fantasy point of view.
And I need to get something out of him, because I can't play Wan-Bissaka against Liverpool, so Danny Ings is coming off my bench. I know we spoke about Fulham and Palace already, but what about Zaha? He looked great. We didn't really mention Zaha, 7 million.
Yeah, Zaha looked great. Even I think he hit the post and his one of the goals was disallowed, but he took his goal really well. Well, he rounded off the keeper and scored. It was good.
He was. And so what about Spurs now, Prashant? Take it away about the Spurs game. Harry Kane didn't look up to much, did he?
I don't think why that guy wants to rush in all the time. Just give yourself a couple of weeks. You will be fitter. You will be sharper. He looked really dead to me.
Yeah.
Vertonghen scored a goal finally after, I don't know, 5-6 years. That guy has scored a goal in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Actually, in that game, Newcastle were really good. Like, they hit the post twice, otherwise they could have won the game. I really feel bad for them.
Yeah. And Dele Alli looked good.
Oh, yes. Dele Alli looked really good. I think he should have scored one more where he, you know, from a Christian Eriksen cross, but he looked really good. His movement was very good. His combination play was good. And I think at 9 million, he can be a differential right now.
Yes,
people who want
to take risks,
they can go for him.
Definitely. It was just a pity about that that clean sheet for any of the those Spurs defenders. Hey, what about Kennedy's touch?
Oh, man. That was a sure goal. That threw ball from outside the foot. I think it was Joselu who gave that ball.
It was a thing of beauty.
Yes, that was like Iniesta or someone playing that ball. If it was Iniesta, we would have been talking about that for years.
Exactly. It was beautiful. And it was just the touch let him down now. But look, we'll put that down to a bit of rust. And you know what? Still a player to keep on the watch list. Certainly.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we've kind of spoke about all the games there now, Prashant, and just to let the people know, there's been a few price raises in the league, and I've got them down here in front of me. I'll just shout them out. Wan-Bissaka has gone to 4.1. Sadio Mane is now 9.6. Benjamin Mendy, 6.1. Luke Shaw, 5.1. Paul Pogba, 8.1. Richarlison, 6.6. And Ruben Neves, 5.1. And those are the price rises that have gone up for game week one, going into game week two. Fair enough.
Yeah, I think it was expected, all these price rises, because of their good performances.
Yeah. So we're about to wrap this up here now. What would your advice going into game week two be, Prashant?
I think my advice would be, even if you didn't have a great game week, like even if you didn't score 80, 90 points, if you were on 60, 65, I think you should stick with your team.
Yeah.
Look for some, you know, different formation. Maybe bring a play a 3-4-3 or a 4-4-2, whatever your team looks better in. And then your captain picks for this game week for me would be either Salah or Sanchez. Salah I'm not going for because, yeah, Liverpool are in great form, but the Crystal Palace have been a voodoo team for them for quite a while now.
Excellent. Because I'm going Salah captain again.
I think it's a safe choice, but I'm not, like, even last time they somehow managed to win that game, so I don't know.
Who are you going for then, Prashant?
I think I'm going for Alexis.
That's a differential. Now I'm going to tweet you again on Friday or Saturday morning to ask you who this captain is again, because I think you're going to get fucking scared and go move back to Salah. But
I think that will happen.
I'm going to speak to you on Friday about that. I'm going to go Salah. I'm not making any transfers this week. I think I'm just going to chill out, relax, and see how game week two goes. Like you just said, myself and yourself, we got two decent scores. I'm sitting at an overall rank of 200,070. So, you know, it's not too bad. So I'm happy enough. I'm just going to see how it goes for game week two, and I'll bank my transfer and use it for game week three.
I think I'm going to do the same thing. Remain with the same team. Just tweak around a little bit with the formation and the players that are starting. We'll see how it goes.
Right, well, Prashant, I think we've hit the 40-minute marks here. Is there anything else we want to talk about, or do you think we've covered enough for a nice short podcast? Short and sweet, I'd like to think.
Yeah, the last one became a bit too long, I think, but this was good. And then definitely we guys will be coming back for the next week.
Well, we hope so. Thanks for listening, guys, and I hope you enjoyed our little chat there about fantasy football. And if you agree with anything we said, let us know, tweet us, and share out the podcast. We'd really appreciate that. I've been the Fantasy King, and thanks for listening, guys.
Bye. Enjoy.